Our message this morning is from Romans chapter 8, verses 26 to 39. A lot of verses, but we're going to read this. The title of it is Do Not Be Discouraged. The title got changed at the last minute. Myrna thought this was better than what I had picked. But my first line today would be what I had picked. Romans 8, 26 to 39. Likewise, the Spirit also helps in our weaknesses. For we do not know what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit himself makes intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. Now he who searches the hearts knows what the mind of the Spirit is, because he makes intercession for the saints according to the will of God. And we know that all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to his purpose. For whom he foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn of many brethren. Moreover, whom he predestined, these he also called. Whom he called, these he also justified. And whom he justified, he also glorified. What then shall we say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare his own Son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Who shall bring a charge against God's elect? It is God who justifies. Who is he who condemns? It is Christ who died, and furthermore, it is also risen. Who is even at the right hand of God, who also makes intercession for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword, as it is written, for your sake we are killed all day long. We are counted as sheep for the slaughter. Yet in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing, shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen. What a powerful word of God. My title today would have been, We Are Not to Be Discouraged or to Be Fearful. And Myrna said, that's King James. She says, do not be discouraged or be fearful. We trust God, knowing he loves us. He has our best in mind. As he works all things together for good to those who love him. To those who are called according to his purpose. Romans chapter 8, verse 1, which we did not read this morning, begins this way. There is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. No condemnation, no judgment to those who are in Christ. How are we in Christ? We must be born again by believing in Jesus Christ as our Savior, our Lord, and as the Son of God, as God himself. John chapter 1, verses 12 and 13 tells us this. But as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become children of God, even to those who believe in his name. But then look at verse 13. Who were born, not of blood, nor the will of the flesh, nor the will of man, but of God. When we come to believe in Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, we are born of God. As 2 Corinthians 5:17 tells us, Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he's a new creation. Old things have passed away, and behold, all things have become new. When we are in Christ, we are born again. Born from above, as 1 John 5:1 tells us. The book of Romans was one of Martin Luther's favorite books. It's a book that we should read over and over and over again. But in the middle of the book of Romans is chapter 8, which is filled with God's promises for us. For us, his children. To be secure in his love. Did you get that? This book, this chapter 8, is filled with promises so we can be secure in the love of God. In this text, we will see, 1, the work of the Holy Spirit. 2, that God works all things together for good. And 3, that nothing can separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Aren't those 3 powerful points? Powerful. The Holy Spirit convicts us of sin and reveals the Word of God to us and imparts eternal life to us when we trust it in Christ Jesus our Lord and Savior. Instantly, we are born into God's family. The moment you came into a point in your life where you accepted Jesus Christ as your Savior, your Lord, and the Son of God, you were instantly born into the family of God by the power of the Holy Spirit. God adopts us and gives us a position of an adult. When we come into his family, we're not babies where we have to learn how to read and so forth. No, we are adults. We can read the Word of God, we can stand up for him, and we can witness for Jesus at that very moment. In fact, if you go over your life, the moment you accepted Christ is probably when you were the most on fire for God. You remember that? And as you get older, you start to think, oh, I believe in God, and I believe in Jesus, and just go along. God wants us to be on fire for him. Just as we had our reading this morning in the book of Revelation, where it says they lost their first fire, they lost their first love. They lost their fire for the Lord Jesus. Don't you ever lose your fire for him. Don't you ever lose your love for him. The Holy Spirit in chapter 8 bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God, heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ. So chapter 8 says, and since we suffer with him, we may be also glorified together. I didn't read that part, but that's in chapter 8, verses 14, 15, and 16, maybe 17 too. But now in verses 26 and 27, which I did read, it tells us that the Holy Spirit helps us in our weaknesses. When we do not know how to pray, the Spirit prays for us with groanings, which cannot be uttered. The Spirit intercedes for us, that we might stay in the will of God. Have there been times when you did not know how to pray? No. Times of sickness are a great tragedy. I want to share with you, I was gone. Myrna and I went down, and we had these people from that were there from my last church. We were in Alabama. And they were going to show us things. So Sunday we went to church with them. Monday they came over, we walked on the beach together and stopped at some place at 8. Then they called us that evening and said, we have to leave. There's been a tragedy. Our daughter-in-law shot herself twice. So I prayed with them, and it came just from the Spirit of God. He gave me the words to pray. And they were very, so appreciative that God was working. And they had a huge amount of people that began praying. And she's doing much better now. Much better. She's not in the dark place that she was. Then I had another person call me. So her husband's back in the hospital back here in Duluth. I said, I can't see him yet. I got to wait till I get back. Tragedies continue. But the word of God here says, or this says, have there been times when you did not know how to pray? Times of sickness or a great tragedy. It is at times like this that the Spirit prays for you. And that the Holy Spirit will give you the words to pray. You might say, Lord, I don't know what to ask for. I don't know what to say. But I'm coming to you as a child, and I want the Lord's will to be done. You say that next time you don't know what to pray. Say it to God. I don't know what to pray. But Lord, pray for me. Let the Holy Spirit pray for me. That we would stay in the will of God, and that God would answer whatever we may need done. Giving us direction, or whatever the case might be. And the Holy Spirit will pray for you, and you will get an answer. It's times like this that the Holy Spirit makes intercession for us. I want you all to remember that the Holy Spirit prays for each and every one of you. That is what the Word of God says in Romans 8, 26 and 27. With groanings too deep to understand that cannot be uttered. That's how precious you are. But then it follows up in Romans 8, 28, the very next verse. A verse that all of our faith should stand upon. It says, and we know that all things work together for good to those that love God, to those who are called according to his purpose. God's grace through faith in Christ Jesus guarantees our faith, guarantees our salvation, the salvation of sinners. All things work together for good. All things. Verses 28 and 30 of this text, I want you to remember that. Verses 28 and 30 gives us the process of salvation. God the Father has a perfect plan. His plan is for his good. It's for our good and his glory. As we look at these verses, we'll see that. His plan is for our good and for his glory. He says all things work together for good in verse 28. To those who are called. All things. The good, the bad, the bright and the dark. When you might be in a dark place. The easy and the hard things. The happy and the sad things. Prosperity and poverty. Health and sickness. Life and death. All things are working together for good. There are no accidents with God. In Genesis chapter 50, verse 20, Joseph said, you thought evil against me, but God meant it for good. You know, sometimes things can happen to us, but God means it for good. We can cry out like Jeremiah did. Jeremiah 11, 14, Jeremiah says, why did you let me see the trouble? But we must remember, all things are working together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to his purpose. All things are working together for good. That's verse 28. God has a perfect plan for our good
and for his glory.
This started in eternity past, when he chose us before the foundation of the world, as it says in Ephesians chapter 1, verses 4 and 5. It talks about predestination. Predestination applies to saved people. God did not intend for any to be lost and spend their eternity in the lake of fire in hell. The lost are lost because they have chosen to be lost and not to trust in Christ as their Savior and their Lord, as it says in John 3:18-21. The called are saved by the grace of God through faith in Jesus Christ. It's a wonderful verse in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 13 and 14. Here's what they say. But we are bound to give thanks to God always for you, brethren, beloved by the Lord, because God from the beginning chose you for salvation through sanctification by the Spirit and belief in the truth, to which he called you by our gospel, for the obtaining of the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. When you believe in Jesus Christ, that means God has chosen you. And we praise him for that. Verse 30 of this text is the very process of salvation. I want you to go back and read that sometime. Verse 30 is the process of salvation. It says, those whom God chooses, he calls. When they respond to his call, he justifies them and he glorifies them. This is a done deal. Through faith in Christ, we are justified and glorified. That's what this verse says. God the Son, Jesus Christ, prays for us. In John chapter 17, verse 22-23, here's what it says. This answers what I just said. Here's what it says. And the glory, Jesus prays, and the glory which you gave me, I have given them, that they may be one, just as we are one, I and them, and you and me. Jesus Christ says right here, he prays to the Father for us, that we would have his glory, the same glory that the Father had given him. That's what it says. Did God answer that prayer? He sure did. We look at verse 30. Whom he justifies, he glorifies. When you believe in Jesus, you've answered his call. He has justified you and glorified you. Right on, right, Josiah? Amen. God has our testimony. He has precious thoughts for us. The sum of them is more than the number of the sand. Psalm 139, 17 and 18. The sum of God's precious thoughts for us is more than the sand. I want you sometime, you might go to boat and grab a rope, grab a hand of sand, and start counting. Then you start to think about how much sand we have on this earth. God's precious thoughts towards you are more than a number of the sand. Do you realize how much you're loved? Do you realize how much God loves you?
Yes.
His precious thoughts outnumber the sand. Don't they, Patty? Yes, they do. I can see your face. Romans 8:1 tells us there is no condemnation, no judgment to those who are in Christ Jesus. And Romans 8:28 says, all things work together for good. Now, verses 31 to 39 tell us that God's love is everlasting. Did you hear that? God's love is everlasting, Wanda. Everlasting. Nothing can separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord.
Amen.
Verse 35 of our text says, what shall separate us from the love of Christ? Now, verse 31, it says, if God be for us, who can be against us? Amen. You've heard that verse before? If God be for us, who can be against us? The final section of this scripture is on the security of the believer. That we are secure in God's love. We are secure in Christ's love. We are secure. We do not need to fear the past. We do not need to fear the present. And we do not need to fear the future. Amen, Kathy. Amen. We do not need to fear the past, the present, or the future. Because we are in God's hands. Verses 31 to 39, we have five promises that prove nothing can separate us, the believer, from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus. Verse 31 again says, if God be for us, who can be against us? It's an easy one to memorize, and I challenge all of you to memorize that verse. That's only part of the verse, but that's the part to memorize. The Father is for us and proved it by giving us His Son in verse 32. And in John 3:16, which you all know, which says, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whoever believes in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. God the Father has given us His Son. Romans 8:32. God justifies us. I want to add Romans 5:1 to this. A verse that is such a strong verse for us to hold on to. It says, therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. So how are we justified? Therefore, having been justified by faith in Jesus Christ, we have peace with God. When you believe in Jesus, you've been justified and have peace with God.
Amen.
Amen. That's what it says. Amen. Christ, the Son of God, is for us, in verse 34 of our text. He died for us and is risen and makes intercession for us, in verse 34. And in 1 John 2:2, it says that He is our advocate before the Father. Jesus Christ is at the right hand of God the Father right now. And He is interceding for us day and night. Whenever we need Him, He's pleading our case before God the Father. We cannot fail. We are justified. We cannot fail. The first promise, verse 31. If God be for us, who can be against us? As believers, we need to start each day believing that God is for us. Wouldn't that be a powerful way to start the day? So powerful. As you start the day today, remember, God is for us. You can walk out there and say, God is for me. You tell Ryan that. God is for us. That's how we are to start the day. There is no reason for fear. For our loving Father has the best in mind for us. For us, His children, by faith in Christ. Jeremiah 29:11, which many of you know, I know this is one of Myrna's favorite verses. For I know the plans that I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans for welfare and not for calamity. To give you a future and a hope. God wants to give us a future and a hope. What is our future beyond everything? That we're going to see Christ face to face. We're going to see God. And we're going to be with Him.
Yes.
Forever, for eternity.
Yes.
Yes. Our second promise is that Christ died for us. One of the verses I share in communion is Romans 5:8. But God demonstrated His love for us in that while we're still sinners, Christ died for us. And in our text, in verse 32, it says that He did not spare His own Son. So how shall He not freely give us all things? When we were sinners, God didn't spare His Son. And He didn't spare His Son then. How shall He not freely give us all things? We are His sheep and are safe in His hands. In the parable of the lost sheep, it says He had 100 sheep. He lost. One was lost. And even though He still had 99, He went on and found that one. What this tells us is that when God started with 100, He's going to finish with 100. When God starts with a saved sinner, He's going to finish with that saved sinner. Did you hear that? When you come to know Jesus Christ and you're saved, He's going to start with you and He's going to finish with you. You're in God's hands. He has justified you and glorified you. Don't ever forget what verse 30 says in this text. If you believe in Christ as your Savior, you are His sheep and He knows your voice. And you are precious in His sight. Precious one. Our third promise is that God justifies in verse 33. He has declared us righteous in Christ. As it says, when Christ died for us in Ephesians 5, 25-27, what does verse 27 say? That He might present us to Himself, a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that we should be holy and without blemish. I love that. 2 or 3 weeks ago, I was in Bible study. I said, are they bad Christians? And people said, no! Why? Because we have been washed without spot, blemish, wrinkle, or any such thing. They repeated it to me. And was I blessed? Was I blessed when that was said? That everyone heard those words. And I'm taking them in. That God sees the righteousness of Christ in us.
Yes.
He sees us without spot, without blemish, without wrinkle, or any such thing, because He sees Christ in us, Jenny.
Praise
the
Lord.
He sees Christ in you when you know Jesus Christ. God's justification never changes. Jesus paid the price for our sins on the cross of Calvary, and we are secure in Him. As 1 John 4:10 says, herein is love, not that we love God, but that He loved us and sent His Son to be the propitiation for our sins. He sent His Son to be the atonement for our sins. He sent His Son to atone for each and every one of you and for me. Amen is right, Josiah. Our fourth promise, I'm going to hurry along. I guess I'm going too much. I've got a ton more than it's in this message. I don't remember. Our fourth promise is that Christ intercedes for us in verse 34. The Holy Spirit intercedes in verses 26 and 27. And Jesus Christ intercedes for us in verse 34. They're interceding before the throne of God, the Father. Jesus is our advocate. Jesus' intercession means He is our representative before God. His ministry of intercession means we are secure in the Father. We're secure in the Son. He is pleading our case. And there is no one better than Jesus Christ to plead our case, other than the Holy Spirit who pleads our case too. They're both God. Our fifth promise. We're almost done. In verses 35 to 39, that we see how much Christ loves us. Nothing can separate us from the love of Christ. As you read through all those things that happen in those verses, nothing can separate us from the love of Christ. In verse 28, God assures us that all of our trials are working together for good and not against us. All of our trials work together for good, not against us. Romans 8:37. We are more than conquerors through Him who loved us. Jesus gives us the victory. We're more than conquerors. Verse 39. We do not need to fear life or death, things present or things to come, because Jesus loves us and has given us the victory. Our security is in Christ.
Amen.
Nothing can separate us from the love of Christ. We need to believe it, and we need to rejoice in it. Did you get that? Nothing can separate us from the love of Christ. Believe that and rejoice in it. Don't let this world and all these things today happening to drag you down.
Right.
You believe that nothing can separate you from the love of God and the love of Christ, and you rejoice in it. That's what we should do. Chapter 8 is a powerful chapter. It begins in verse 1 saying there is no condemnation, no judgment to those who are in Christ Jesus, because we have Christ's righteousness. We are free from defeat because Christ lives in us. We are free from discouragement because we know that God works all things together for good. In Romans 8:28. And that Christ is coming for us, and that we shall be His delight, as it tells us in Psalm 16:3. And I'm going to go through that entire chapter in Psalms in Bible study. We are free from fear because we have the Holy Spirit and Christ interceding for us. We need to hold on to verse 39. Which says, nothing shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. You hang on to that verse. This chapter contains no judgment, no condemnation, and no obligation, no fear, and no separation from God. Always remember Romans 8:31. If God be for us, who can be against us? Let's pray. Father in heaven, Almighty God, we just praise you and thank you, Father, for your powerful word and the assurance that your word gives us. Oh God, I pray for each and every one here today, and for those not here, and for those who might listen to this message, that we would all grow in your grace, in your knowledge, in your wisdom and understanding. We would all grow to realize the depth of your love for us and know that nothing can separate us from your love, which is in Christ Jesus. We thank you, Father, for that word. We just praise you and thank you in Jesus' precious name.